sister. That was beautiful. Seems like East Local. I'm up here introducing a brother, a dear brother. I don't know how many of you, I know you know Rusty, but I don't know how many of you really know his heart. And I do. I think everyone that comes, especially from our local, knows Rusty's heart. And there's not a purer heart that I know of than resides in our brother. I know I'm the pastor of that East Local, but I find myself being ministered to by my brother. And he ministers to all of us at that local. I know that he's going to minister to you. I don't want you to have a doubt in your heart and in your mind of his heart. He wants your soul to be lifted up this afternoon. He wants your soul to come closer to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He has worked. I know he has worked. And he has sought the Lord over and over, not just for himself, but for you. I count it a blessing to know him as a brother. I count him as a son. I have that same feeling towards my brother Rusty as I do with my boys. So I know that he will be nervous, but I know that he is going to deliver something for each of you this afternoon. Receive it, is my prayer.
This out of the way. It'll happen again. So, my brother Steve is just, he puts way too much out there about me. I am not worthy of the position to stand behind this pulpit. Like my brethren, I'm sure, who stand behind a pulpit at any time, feel as if they're not worthy of that time, that responsibility that they've been called to administer. Administer the Word of God. And that's my biggest fear, is to fail my Heavenly Father and not deliver His Word. And that's my prayer always when I stand behind this pulpit, is that it's not my will, it's not my word, that I'm just the vessel that he uses to carry that word, to deliver that word, that his Holy Spirit will fill your hearts and it will overtake my thoughts and my wants and deliver unto you what the Lord wants. Thank you all for opening your homes and your hearts and to Libby and I and blessing us with this trip. We both needed to be here with you this week. The extra time that we got to spend this week, explore your Camelback Mountain. The time Libby spent with all of her sisters in Christ. She needed that. I needed to see her break out from the little shell that I've seen her. I told you it'd happen again. We needed this. We needed you. We needed to be in your presence because of the love and the warmth. We missed you guys. We wish we could be here more often. And I tell you, you guys are always with us. It's been amazing. Over the last year and a half, our family has faced some trials. And it is an awesome feeling to know and feel the power of prayer that has been put forth for Libby and I and our whole family. It's an amazing blessing to have a sister in Phoenix reach out in a handwritten note. I don't know when the last time it was I opened the mail and there was a handwritten note to me. Of course, I didn't answer it in a handwritten note. It was in digital form. That sister blessed me. My whole family has blessed me with the prayers that has helped empower us to stay strong. I came here with thoughts, praying about what I should come and do and say, what the Lord wanted me to bring to you. And like Bob, I could say ditto and sit down and be done. Joel's opening scriptures had something for me. For what was on my mind, what the Lord had presented to me that he was going to use me to deliver, part of the scriptures that Joel opened with were confirmation to me that I was on track. I was hearing what he wanted me to go about. In Isaiah 55:1, you don't have to go there. These are just some quick bullet points, some reviews. But in 55:1, the Lord, he's telling us to call on him. Call on him. He will provide whatever we need. The milk, the honey, the meat. Without price, without money. First part of Isaiah 52, he reminds us of our own weakness, our own inability, where we labor. We labor more and more and more for this, for money, for status, for things. We spend more time laboring for the world than we do the Lord. But he says, call on me, come to me, and I will feed you. I like the second scripture he used because of the living water. That spiritual thirst, once again, the Lord is going to give to us that which can't be taken away by man. But again, all we see is the temporal waters, the water of that well. The woman said, it was given to us by Jacob. Jacob gave to his family. Jacob watered his cattle, and it's been there for generations. It served a purpose. It has nourished us. But Jesus says, the living water, you'll never thirst again. I love that message. There's a message in every one of the scriptures that was put forth. Our brother Don tells us about consequences. Even those that we look upon in the scriptures as great men with this abundant faith faced consequences. Consequences that were bad, being admonished, failures. We all fail. We all battle failures in our lives. But there are good consequences as well. There's reward for doing what we're supposed to do. Excuse me. Bob put us on the right path last night. I love that analogy, the 3,000 in an 8-lane road, and they were all going the same direction. It's that temporal battle we have going on. My brother's scripture this morning, Psalms 51. There was something there. There's been something in every scripture used. The testimonies here have been wonderful. There's a sermon in every one of them. Are you all happy to be here? Yeah. Yeah, you are. So am I. I would almost say, I know for a fact. Libby and I were so excited to come down here. We talked about it for days. Anybody we talk to, we're going to Phoenix. It only took me once to tell Libby it was time to get up. We got to go to the airport. She was up and dressed. That doesn't happen. Have you ever thought about how long that happiness is going to last you? Happiness is defined as a pleasure, a contentment. Happiness is a new job. Happiness is a new home. That new car smell. Right, Tony? Just picking on Tony. Happiness is that new toy a child gets. A funny movie. I laugh out loud more now than I have for years. But how long does that last? That new car, it gets older, gets miles on it, it needs an oil change. That new car smell goes away. New house, now it needs work. You got to mow the lawn. Well, you guys don't mow the lawn, but things happen around the house. It becomes more every day. That toy breaks. There's a new one comes out. Kids and their video games. You buy them the best video game, and by next Christmas, there's another one that's not compatible with the one you bought the year before, and so on, so on, so on. There's just a temporary happiness. Your job becomes routine instead of an adventure. It does for all of us. I read a little study online about happiness, and of course they can't study Americans. They have to go overseas somewhere. And the gist of the study was that after 24 years, the majority of people experienced happiness. Duh. Well, the majority of the people retained some happiness. Well, what's that mean? It's that contentment. It's that I'm happy that I have this house. I'm happy that I have a good car. But it's not the same happiness you had when it was brand new, when it was shiny, right? It's that temporary happiness. It's a contentment. Happiness is often mistaken as joy. Now, they're both very similar. Joy and happiness, right? I have an enjoyment of something. It makes me happy. They have similar definitions. They both give us a sense of delight and enjoyment. They both elevate us emotionally. But joy, the definition of joy, is jubilance. Oh, that word just sounds better than happiness, right? Joy comes with comfort. Joy comes from being triumphant over something. Joy comes from facing a trial, a temptation, and getting beyond that. My thought was joy is a reward for a job well done. I'm happy when I do a good job, too. At work, I feel a joy when I end my day satisfied knowing that I completed the task before me and that those I was involved with have a sense of confidence in my work. The gift that God gave me to do this job, and a sense that they can trust in the outcome of the work that they'll do the next day. That brings joy to me. That's what keeps me doing my job, along with other things. Happiness usually comes and goes without a thought or consideration. Am I right? Happiness is just instantaneous. You see something funny, you're happy. You laugh. That new car, you thought about it. You had to go and research it and before you purchased it. That brought happiness. But like I said, it comes and goes. You see, Jesus wants us to have joy. And his disciples John 16. And his disciples just weren't getting it. Starting at the 16th verse. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples, explaining to them what is about to happen. What's going to go on? A little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father. Then said some of the disciples among themselves, what is this that he saith unto us? A little while and ye shall not see me. And again, a little while and ye shall see me. And because I go to the Father, they said therefore, What is this that he saith? A little while. We cannot tell what he saith. Now Jesus knew that they were desirous to ask him, and said unto them, do ye inquire among yourselves of that I said a little while? And ye shall not see me again, and a little while ye shall see me. Verily, verily, I say unto you, that ye shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice, and ye shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. And he gives them an example of that trial that they must face. And it's not clear to them, but he makes it a simple example. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man is born into the world. Men, you don't understand this, but a woman, you spent 10 months of miserable body aches and so on. And, you know, you worry about, you gained weight. You worry about the health of the child. You're uncomfortable. I mean, honestly, who but a woman could take walking around with another body inside them? I'm glad God picked you women to do that. But is it not true? You go through the whole birth, and you're worried and you're stressed, but the minute you see that child, it's all gone. And what replaces all of that? That joy. That joy of seeing that child, that perfect gift of God, right? And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. In these verses, the disciples are stressing over the time. Their thoughts immediately go, well, we're going to go without Jesus? Where is he going? How long is he going to be gone? They didn't catch on when Jesus told them that the world would rejoice. The world rejoices today when someone decides Jesus is dead, or they take Jesus out of something. Anytime they can remove Jesus from us, they rejoice. The world rejoices. Same as at this time here. There were those who wished Jesus was gone. But he's trying to tell them, I'm going to leave, but I'll return. I'll be back. He'd taught them this whole time, the whole time that he was with them. But the only thing they were worried about was, what are we going to do without Jesus? Where's he going? What is this time? He also assured them of the joy, and he assures us of the joy that we will have. The absolute assurance that no one can take it from us. Just by calling on our Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ, we can have that joy. The true trial that these disciples faced wasn't time. Their trial was their faith. Jesus returned unto them 3 days later. It took them 3 days that their faith was tried. He told them, I'll come again. I'll be back. Only faith in their Heavenly Father, in Jesus Christ, would allow them that joy. Our faith is tried daily, right? Every day. Psalms 32. Blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long. For day and night thy hand was heavy upon me, my moisture is turned into the drought of summer. I acknowledge my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgression unto the Lord, and thou forgavest the iniquity of my sin. For this shall everyone that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. Thou art my hiding place. Thou shalt preserve me from trouble. Thou shalt compass me about with songs of deliverance. I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the horse or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. Many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, mercy shall compass about him. Be glad in the Lord, and rejoice, ye righteous, and shout for joy, all ye that are upright in heart. Without God, we die quickly, both physically and spiritually. Verse 3. That verse 3, when I read that, I thought back to a time in my life. Have any of you faced a time in your life when you were without God before you knew Jesus Christ? And now that you reflect back and you look upon that time, were you not withering and drying up and dying compared to where you are now? Verses 7 through 9. There is no hiding anymore among the world. We no longer hide amongst the world. We hide our faces in God. Everything we have, every trial we have, every temptation we have, we take it to the Lord. We never did that before. I'll speak for myself. I never did that before. That verse 9, yeah, I reflect back. I used to be led around like that mule, like that horse, bit and bridle in my mouth. I was an individual. By golly, you did that, I'm going to do it too. That makes me an individual. The world led me like that. It's not what God wants. No more shall I do that. No more do I want you to do that. Turn back to Psalms 30. I will extol thee, O Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me. O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me. O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. And in my poverty I said, I shall never be moved. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong, and didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee, O Lord, and unto the Lord I made supplication. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Lord, be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness, to the end that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. I have a joy within me no man, no one can take away except me. If I turn from God, if I stop calling on my Heavenly Father in the name of Jesus Christ, then I will have no more joy. Not a spiritual joy. I might have that temporal happiness. After hearing the testimonies here over the last 2 days, and again tomorrow morning I'll hear more of those wonderful testimonies, I know that each one of you have experienced this joy. This joy that no one can take away from you, that the Lord gave to you because you overcame a trial, because you have a confidence in the Lord's will. You know, some of the young people, well, probably not this group, I made up a little story at camp 1 year because they had asked me to do the campfire. And I thought about what I would do. I mean, I was facing young people, and how do I go about this? And I was worried that it wasn't going to be right and so on. And I said, Lord, I'm on my way to the campfire right now, and I need a witness. I need a witness to what I have on my heart right now is the right thing to do. Young man who's sitting here amongst us walks up to me and he says, so Rusty, where do you come from? Thank you, Lord. Just testified, you just witnessed to me that yeah, that's what I'm supposed to do. And I tried to anonymously lay out my life before Christ. Drugs and alcohol by age 12. I didn't lead a terrible life. I had wonderful parents. I had older brothers and sisters. Yeah. I testify, you know, many times before I even knew who Jesus Christ was. I had an opportunity to spend some time in a closet. I was invited into a closet. an area that I didn't choose to be in, but because of my life choices, I was invited into. And the seed was planted by someone else who was in a closet nearby, complaining that he needed his spiritual time. And when I laid down that night, I said a prayer. The first time I'd ever prayed to the Lord in my life. And all I said was, "Lord, you know what I want. You know what's dearest to me in my heart. Lord, I don't want to look over my shoulder anymore. I don't want to live this way." And from that point on, I spent the next 2 years under a microscope to do what was right. And the Lord made it so easy to do. Because He answered my prayer. He gave me the strength to do what He knew I had in my heart. Looking back, hindsight, that brings joy to me, joy to my heart, to know that He answered my first prayer. Like many, I came into the church, but I wasn't on that righteous path right away. I dabbled in the world, not like I had previously. Don't think that I would have brought that anywhere near the church. I've been on a path of enlightenment for ...17 years. And it's wonderful. It brings a joy to me. Here recently, though, what I think really brought about the knowledge of the joy that I have and have experienced in the Lord was during the last year searching for those answers. That time when I most needed someone to be with me, He was there. That time that I could have made the decision to go back to my old ways, and it would have been easy to do, the Lord didn't let me do that. He picked me up. And He directed me. And when I feel low and I feel weak, when I feel confused, believe me, I have days when it's like I'm being spun around in a tilt-a-whirl. The world is just buzzing by you. Just every move you make, you just can't grasp onto anything to make sense of it. I go be administered to. I look to the Lord. Spending time on my knees praying has done wonders. Has brought so much joy to me because I'm able to stand up and say, this is who God wants me to be, and this is who I'm going to be. I've doubted myself for years. Why was I called? Why would God want me as a servant? What do I have to offer for Him? I doubted myself to the point at reunion I was asked to preach one time, and I choked. I don't think I was up there 2 minutes. And that was my weakness, my flaws. But recently, it finally sank in. Does that ever happen to you? You read scriptures and all of a sudden, wow. You've read that scripture I don't know how many times, and then all of a sudden, John chapter 15. This is my, starting with the 12th verse. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you. That ye should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. We've always sang that song, "You have a friend in Jesus." We have a friend in Jesus. 6-8 months ago, Jesus took me by the shirt collar and stood me up. And he said, "I'm here. I will never leave you. And this is what you need to do. Follow me. When you feel tired, I will lift you up. But follow me. When you think you can go on no longer, keep moving. Stay with me. I will never leave you." I won't say it's been a wonderful journey over the last year and a half. But honestly, I've never been closer to my Savior. There is a joy that's within me right now that I will remember forever. And I could go back and I could tell you of other times that the Lord has given me a joy. Steve, when Libby was born, Libby was in the ICU unit. Steve was there and witnessed with me. He prayed over her because they were wanting to do some horrific surgery on her head. She'd been there 11 days for her lungs to develop, and then they told us they were going to do some crazy surgery on her. We had her administered to. The doctor comes in a few hours later and checks it again and says, "Well, we don't have to do that surgery. Everything's fine." The joy that I had in my heart because of the Lord and His blessings, you can call it a miracle. I just say that it was Him. His presence was there. He wasn't going to allow this precious child at that point to go through that. It was a miracle, a blessing, a joy that I will never let go of. I've struggled for the last week as to why the Lord gave me some scripture. I read it over and over, and to me it really didn't fit in. And I crossed it out. It was a lengthy reading. I'm not going to read it, but today, our service took a turn. The Spirit took a turn today. And I thought about that scripture. It's Jacob chapter 3. I'm not going to go there. It's Jacob rehearsing what Zenas's words. And all of this time, all of these things that I've talked about, all this joy that I've experienced in my life has come because I faced a trial or a tragedy or something where some would view me as a victim. And I'm not a victim. I've never been a victim. I will never be a victim. I might be a victim of a circumstance, but my attitude is I'm not a victim because I have the Lord on my side. And all of my joys have come from from being steadfast and standing up and accepting the Lord and wanting Him to be in my life. But reading through that several times, it's talking about grafting in the wild branches, trying to regain that pure fruit. And I know it's talking about the Gentiles and the bringing together of Israel, but I thought, I was that wild branch. I was that bitter fruit. I was that heathen that lived in the world that you could tag me with all of those scriptures that describe sin. You know, the thief, the fornicator, the liar, the slothful person. You could have tattooed those all over my body and they would have been true. Every one of those. I don't desire to be that way anymore. I was that wild fruit. No more. I look forward to being one of the servants in that story, in that word, where God, the master of the vineyard, calls his servant, Jesus Christ, and sends him out to find other servants. And those servants spend the time to cultivate and nurture the vineyard, to bring it back to its natural fruit, to bring it back to that original state. The Gentiles bringing the word to Israel. Those laborers will have a joy. That is the joy that I look forward to, that I want to be a part of. Do you want to be a part of that joy? Where you are called of Jesus Christ to deliver the Word of God, to deliver that example to others, to be steadfast when you face a trial, a temptation, to be the guide down that straight and narrow path. To be the carrier of the living water. Our joy is for one reason. Not our happiness, not that temporary happiness, but the true joy of this gospel, of the love of Jesus Christ. For one thing, just like in that story, in the end, the master of the vineyard, God, who works diligently with each and every one of us every day, he's not a God that stands aside and... No. That joy is for the glory of God. We work, we serve him, because he fills us, he gives us that joy for a job well done, a task completed, a triumph over those trials. They triumphed in returning the fruit to its natural state, the sweet state. There are those who are going to have to be pruned out. Dare I say they be our own brethren? Or just people that we cross in the world? But in the end, our labor for the Lord is what joy we should, our goal to be, to serve Him. And in the end, He will share that joy, He will share that fruit, He will share His abundance with us in everlasting love and life. And that brings me happiness, to have that knowledge. I thank you. I apologize for my emotions. Thank you again for having me here. And Libby.